Hallelujah. Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. I trust God that you are blessed. You're doing well. We serve a glorious, amazing Father. We're so thankful. We're so thankful that we're His children. What a blessing. What an amazing blessing. I trust that you and your loved ones are well. You are enjoying the goodness of the Lord in this season. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This exciting series of lessons that we have been doing, just amazing, the believer's authority and dominion. Thank you for joining us tonight, whatever platform you're joining us on. I hope you've been with us the last few weeks. It's just been so explosive, so glorious. Hallelujah. I hope you have your word, your Bible, or whatever devices you access the Word of God through. We're going to dive right into the Word of God tonight. I took a bit longer than I expected or planned to last week, so I do trust God that I can have a much shorter session tonight. Please, let's bow our heads together and have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty hands upon our lives. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in us, with us, around us. Thank you for everything that you are doing. Lord, we yield to you tonight. What a privilege, what a blessing that we can be here tonight together with the saints around the Word of God to receive from you, to hear from you that which you have ordained for us. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon our lives. Open the eyes of our understanding. Grant us illumination. Enlighten us tonight. Have your way amongst us, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. We're studying the believer's authority and dominion. Hallelujah. So much in here. So much that the Lord has made available to us. Like we usually do, like we did last week, let's go out there and start out from Ephesians, the prayer that Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, Ephesian Christians, in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. He said, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what? Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things for the benefit of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Glory be to God. Look at that verse 19 again. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what? Toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ," which he produced, which he demonstrated, which he exerted in Christ, "when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Everything began from the resurrection of Christ. You know, we have been looking at the revelation of the resurrection. We're going to give one last service tonight to that. This is such powerful, such an important concept and understanding, a revelation that we need to have. You see, Paul saying, "I'm praying for you that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you have a revelation in the knowledge of this, that you know, because there's so much There's so much of a life change. There's so much of a clarity and so much power and authority that comes into our lives when we have a revelation of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything began from the resurrection. All of the authority and the power and the dominion that Jesus gave to the church, he gave to the church after his resurrection. You remember in Matthew, after he rose from the dead, in Matthew chapter 28, and in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority. Well, the King James says power, but that word is really the Greek word exousia, not dunamis. Dunamis is power. And that's amazing. We've actually taken some time to talk about these two different words and how awesome dunamis is, but authority is what gives us the capacity, the privilege, the ability to exercise the power of God, the dunamis of God that self-reproduces and executes the will of God on the earth. There is nothing that the power of God cannot do. No life that the power of God cannot change. Sometimes we look at people and we say, oh, he's too far gone. Oh, she can never be. No, but the power of God cannot be limited, right? Look at Mary Magdalene. How many devils, the Bible tells us, she had within her. And the power of God changed her life. She became a saint, a complete saint. Look at all the different people, sinners and people that, human beings that other people would have given up on, and people would have said, no, this is just a foregone conclusion. This is just a hopeless case. Nothing. And yet the power of God, there is nothing that the power of God cannot do. No situation that the power of God cannot change. And there are yokes and there are problems and there are difficulties and there are big issues that a lot of people are dealing with in our world today. My brothers and sisters, the answer is the power of God. Is the power of God. And the power of God comes out right out of his word, right? So much depression in our generation, so much anger, so much confusion, and so much how people just don't want to leave. All the suicidal stories, suicidal tendencies, suicidal reports all in the world. So much heartache and pain that so many people are grappling with. Sickness and disease. I mean, there are more diseases in the earth today than the world, the human race has ever known. And they're discovering new ones as we go. I mean, there's so much depravity in the world, but there is nothing that the power of God cannot change. It is why an understanding of the believer's authority and dominion is so consequential to us being able to live a great life, like we learned last week. Oh, I really loved that part of our teaching last week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The benefit of taking our place and walking in spiritual authority and dominion, they are not just benefits that are limited to us as individuals. They're benefits that touch the lives of people that are connected with us, our families, our loved ones, and even people that are not necessarily connected to us by blood, but people that are within our spheres of spiritual jurisdiction, right? The fact that we take our place of spiritual authority and dominion, the fact that we exercise our spiritual authority and dominion can actually impact the lives of those people as well. Hallelujah. We read that scripture in Job chapter 22 last week. It's something that the Lord had ministered to me personally about somebody that prayed for more than 40 years, really. And the Lord said to me, a lot of the reason why the enemy has not succeeded in taking him out is because you stood in the gap for him. Because you stood in the gap. Because left to a lot of the things that he did, and he just didn't know any better. Just a lot of foolish things, a lot of ups and downs and a lot of silliness and a lot of just carnality and flesh and a lot of foolishness, a lot of deception and Lazarus just didn't know any better. He was just confused, just deceived by the devil. And so many doors opened in his life from more than 40 years ago, which I saw. And the Lord just gave me a burden to pray for this person. And the Lord said to me, yes, a main reason, one of the major reasons why Satan has not succeeded in taking him out was because you stood in the gap for him. And we read in Job chapter 22, where Job, in the Amplified version, I think it was verse 20 or something, where Job said, God will deliver the one who is not innocent because you stand in the gap for them. They will be delivered because of the cleanness of your own hands. This is Job. This is Job chapter 22. From verse 26, then you will have your delight in the Almighty and you will lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to Him and He will hear you and you will pay your vows. You shall also decide and decree a thing and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. When they make you low, you will say, there is a lifting up for me. And the humble person, he lifts up and saves. Verse 30, I believe this is verse 30. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. One of the greatest benefits of us walking in our spiritual, taking our place of spiritual authority and dominion is the blessing that it brings to the lives of many people that are connected with us. Many people can be delivered. Many people can be delivered just because we take our place. Now, at some point, each of them is going to have to also learn to stand and learn to take their place of dominion and authority so that they can enjoy these same benefits in their own lives and in the lives of the people that they're covering to. But it is so crucial to understand that a lot of lives depend on our taking our place. Families, children, parents, older siblings, relatives, co-workers, and other people. There's so much that rides on the believers taking their place of authority and dominion. Look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said, Matthew chapter 28. And in verse 18, Jesus came and he spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. I just told you, is authority. That word is the Greek word exousia, and is the word authority. The word dunamis is the word power I was teaching about a minute ago. There is nothing the power of God cannot do. But this authority, exousia, is the ability, the capacity, the privilege, the right to exercise the authority and exercise the power of God. To put the power of God to work on the earth, to establish the will of God. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And in Mark chapter 16, glory be to God. In Mark chapter 16, you know how sometimes people say, yeah, you know, they say if you want to do well spiritually and you want to enjoy the blessings of God and if you want God on your side, and you know, they say then there are certain things that you should do as a child of God, but I'm not doing them. I'm not, you know, putting myself through all of that, and yet I'm still here. None of those things they say will happen to people who don't do it. They happen to me. And I said to you last week, be careful, because you may just be enjoying the mercy of God. Or there might be a covering over you that's protecting you from those elements from destroying you. Or God could have raised up people who are standing in the gap for you. But that's no reason for us to take that for granted and assume like, yeah, I mean, I always do it and I always get away with it. What could go wrong now? A lot. A lot could go wrong now and tomorrow. And at some point, each of us is going to have to take our place of spiritual authority and dominion. That's why the Lord said to them, go and teach the nations. Take the gospel to them. Take the good news. Take the good news. Tell them Jesus died for their sins. Jesus was buried. He rose up 3 days later for their justification, and then he was taken up, ascended up to heaven, and right now he's seated on the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. That's the gospel. Go tell them the gospel. Go tell them the power of God is available to them. They don't have to be oppressed anymore. They don't have to be sick anymore. They don't have to be full of anxiety and depression and suffer corruption in this world that really Jesus died to deliver them from. That's good news. That's the good news. There are many of us who are following this series of teachings. Maybe the Lord is having us go through this so that we can go set some people free. We can go tell some people the good news. Maybe you are already completely walking in your authority, walking in your dominion. You are blessed and you are doing well. Praise God. God bless you. That's good. But maybe the Lord has you here so that you can hear this, you can learn it so well, and you can go teach the world. You can go find people in your family and people in your community and people in your workplace and people that are connected with you and share the good news and exercise authority in situations. Demonstrate the power of God in situations. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe. Now, this is the power of God. See, the authority is the capacity to use this power. But it's the power that would deliver. It's the power that would bring miracles. It's the power that would do signs, right? Look at what it says here. He that believeth will not be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. How? By the power of God. They will speak with new tongues. How? By the power of God. They will take up serpents. And if how? By the power of God. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. How? By the power of God. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How? By the power of God. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. The power of God accompanied them. As they exercised their God-given authority and dominion, the power of God was delivered. The power of God was attesting to the things that they were preaching. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So we were talking about the resurrection, the revelation of the resurrection. Last week we were able to read just 1 Corinthians 15 was just one of the first scriptures we needed to read. I have a couple more that I want us to read tonight. But let's just quickly read that again in the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 12. Because in the Corinthian church at this time, the enemy, the devil had spread this evil heresy that the resurrection did not happen. And a lot of believers, a lot of Christians in the church believed him. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. Verse 25, for Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. That's what we are doing right now. This is the dress rehearsal for that. We are his representative on the earth. We are his emissaries on the earth. So we are demonstrating his authority. Look at that. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies under his feet. No matter what is troubling you, no matter what is ailing you, no matter what is trying to hurt people in your family, your loved ones, Christ wants to humble them. Christ wants to humble them. And how is he going to do it? By the exercise of the authority and dominion that you have been given. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. That's physical death. Because spiritual death has already been dealt with. It's still in the earth. Spiritual death is still in the earth. But it has already been conquered. The last enemy that will be destroyed will be physical death. Oh, glory to God. What a day. What a day of glory that is going to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, for the scriptures say in verse 27, God has put all things under his authority. Of course, when he says all things are under his authority, that does not include God himself who gave Christ his authority. And last week I took some time to talk about hierarchies, right? Then verse 28, when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority so that God who gave his Son authority over all things will be utterly supreme over everything everywhere. I don't want to spend time on that, but the exercise of your own godly authority, your own spiritual authority, is totally incumbent on your taking your place in Christ, in the kingdom of God, and then exercising the authority that you have been given, right? Many times people say, I don't like being the one who's not the I want to be one of the ones at the top. I want to be one of the ones that are leader. I don't want to be the one that's following. There's a lot that goes with that. There's a placement in the body of Christ. There's the placement. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God assigns. We don't assign ourselves, God assigns. Even in leadership, right? Many times people just rebel against leadership authority. People just don't like it. They just want to kick against it. But there's a lot that's riding on that, right? There's a placement. And the exercise of your authority, your ability to enjoy the benefits of the spiritual authority that Jesus died and rose from the dead to give to you, is absolutely incumbent on you taking your place in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, and in life wherever you're placed, and then exercising your own God-assigned authority, taking your place, submitting to the authority of God above you, and then exercising your own God-given authority. Hallelujah. God is not the author of confusion. Many times where you see confusion is because Satan has come in and he has thrown a lot of dust up in the air, so people don't know what they're doing. He puts a lot of blindfold on people's eyes, and they don't know what's going on. They don't know who is who. They don't know who is responsible, who is the head. But when God went into the Garden of Eden, he didn't go and look for Eve. God was not confused, even though it was Eve who ate the fruit. God was not confused. God didn't go into the Garden of Eden and say, Eve, where are you? Eve, where are you? You'll not see that in the Bible. It's not there. What did he say? Adam, where are you? Even though it was Eve who ate the tree, the fruit first. God is not confused. God is so much a God of order. And the reason there's so much confusion in the world is that we have turned upside down the order of God. The foot wants to be the head. The ears wants to be the eyes. The leg wants to be the hand. The nose wants to be the mouth. There's so much confusion, right? It's one of the reasons Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. I started to say that last week as I was getting ready to close out. It's one of the reasons Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. God knew when that rebellion started. He knew when he started to mobilize and talk, try to gather his people so that they could have a coup d'etat against God. God saw everything. From the moment he conceived the thought, God was looking at him. You know, but there's a scripture in the Old Testament, in Genesis, where the Lord was telling, I think it was Abraham, God was prophesying to Abraham what's going to happen maybe about 400 years after that. And then he said, but the cup of the Amorites was not full yet. And sometimes God just lets things play out. And because God is letting things play out, sometimes people just actually think God is a fool. They think, oh, God just, you know, the Bible says in Galatians 6, God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man or woman sows, they are going to reap it. Right? So the Lord sometimes just gives us this, a long rope. And because the Lord in his patience and long suffering gives us this long rope, many times people think they're getting away with stuff. They're getting away with stuff. But they are actually, the more they do those things, the more they are subscribing to the authority and the oppression of Satan in their lives and in their future. But they don't know it yet because there's still a covering over them, right? And God saw when Lucifer started that rebellion, when he started gathering a third of the angels. What do you think he was saying to them? Why should God be the one in authority? Why should he have all the authority here? Right? We need some authority too. Why can't we be the ones being authority? Say, look at me. That's Lucifer. Look at me. What is it God has I don't have? In fact, I have more than him. Meanwhile, it was God who created him with all that he had, right? All the pipes, the musical, everything, the beauty, the glory. It was God who gave it all to him. But now he's telling all these angels that he's trying to deceive. Say, look at me. What is it God has that I don't have? Why is it? Why does it have to be him? Why can't it be us? Why can't it be us? And he started that rebellion. And the day they got together to execute, the Bible said there was war in heaven. God kicked them all out. Kicked them all out. He didn't kick them all out the first day. He gave them time. And a lot of times that happens in some of our situations in our lives. And, you know, and people just get bolder and bolder and bolder because they keep getting away with stuff. They keep getting away with stuff. And they feel like, well, I did that and nothing happened. I did this one and nothing happened. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. It is so important that we learn to take our place of authority. We learn to submit, take our own place, ask whatever the place God has given to us, and yield to the authority of God there, and then take our place and learn to exercise our own authority and our own dominion where we have been placed. Hallelujah. Here goes my time again, right? Glory be to God. I've got to go read a couple more scriptures here tonight before I have to stop. I read this last week to us. Apart from the birth of Christ, his resurrection is the most significant event in history that was orchestrated by the power of God. Satan is extremely terrified about believers hearing, learning, thinking, preaching about, and believing in the resurrection of Christ, because that is where his eternal defeat was sealed. The resurrection started everything. Listen to this. The resurrection of Christ is the basis of his authority and yours. The resurrection of Christ is the basis of his authority and yours and mine. Everything began from the resurrection. Let's go look at a couple more scriptures tonight. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Glory be to God. Let's go to Acts and chapter 2. Then we can start from verse 22, 21 maybe. Acts chapter 2 from verse 21. Let's read a few verses here. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, this is Peter, his message after the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and you have slain. whom God raised up, whom God has raised up. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Whom God raised up. Whom God raised up. In the Amplified, it says, but God raised him up, liberating him from the pangs of death, seeing that it was not possible for him to continue to be controlled or retained by it. And then he busts out talking about a psalm of David. In verse 25, he said, for David speaks concerning me, or spoke concerning him, I foresaw the Lord. And David starts quoting from Psalm 16. I'm gonna just jump over that. Let's go to verse 30 here. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Talking about David. David was a prophet. Knowing that God swore with an oath to him that God will raise up of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, to sit someone to sit upon his throne. Verse 31, he seen this before. David seen this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ. Thousands of years, hundreds and hundreds of years before, David saw it and he prophesied about the resurrection of Christ. He seen this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Jesus' soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Verse 32, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We just read that in 1 Corinthians 15, some of the people that saw him, right, after Jesus rose from the dead. This Jesus God raised from the dead. That's the resurrection. Therefore, verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth that which you now see and hear. Glory to God. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. The revelation of the resurrection. You see how the resurrection runs right through the entire gospel. Right through all the epistles. Because everything began with the resurrection of Christ. No wonder in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Being made, also taking a part, having a fellowship in his suffering, being made conformable to his death. I'm going to Acts chapter 13, but I want to read Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. And come back to Acts chapter 13. That I may know him, he said. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Glory to God. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. It is my greatest aspiration to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The revelation of the resurrection. It's a total game changer. When you know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and you are made conformable unto his death, and you walk and continually move forward as we are doing in these services, attaining unto the resurrection of the dead, it is a total game changer. Hallelujah. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I want us to go and read Acts chapter 13 from verse 29. Acts chapter 13, probably going to start from verse 26. Let's see. Acts chapter 13 from verse 26. Glory to God. This is Paul's message when he and Barnabas went out on their first missionary trip. Acts chapter 13. And you see, every time these people are ministering and every time they're talking, they get to the resurrection and they just build a tent there. There's an encampment around that resurrection, around the revelation of the resurrection, because the revelation of the resurrection is a total game changer. The revelation of the resurrection is a total game changer, because the resurrection changed everything. Acts chapter 13 and verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever amongst you fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which I read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him, talking about Jesus. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Remember talking about the trial of Jesus? He did nothing wrong. They couldn't really find any fault in him, but they still demanded that Pilate kill him. Glory to God. Verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and they laid him in a grave, in a sepulcher. Verse 30, hallelujah. But God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. That's shouting ground. But God raised Jesus from the dead. Woo! Hallelujah. But God raised Jesus from the dead. Verse 31. And he was seen many days of them that came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings. This is the good news, the gospel. This is the gospel. We're seeing this over and over again. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. On the third day, he rose up for our justification. He was seen by so many people, and he was raised up to heaven, ascended to heaven, and now he's seated on the right hand of God the Father. That is the gospel. He said, in this good news, these glad tidings, We preached to you, we declared unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled. I'm going to read this first in the King James, verse 33, and then I'm going to go and read it in the Amplified as well. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He's quoting from Psalm 2 now. He's quoting from Psalm 2. God has fulfilled these same promises unto their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's a psalm of the resurrection, a messianic psalm. And in verse 34, he says, And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. I want to read verse 33 from the Amplified. Listen to this. Listen to this. This he has completely fulfilled. Oh, you know what? Let's back up. Let's read verse 32, because that's better. Actually, it's a better flow into it. Let's read verse 32. So now we are bringing you the good news, the gospel, that what God promised to our forefathers, this he has completely fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. This he has completely fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, You are my son, today have I begotten you, caused you to arise, to be born, formally shown you to be the Messiah by the resurrection. Jesus was shown to be the Messiah by his resurrection. Listen to this again. This, what God promised to our forefathers, this he has completely fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you, caused you to arise, to be born again, formally shown you to be the Messiah by the resurrection. Oh, I love the second Psalm, Psalm 2. Let's go read it. It's a Psalm of the resurrection. It's a messianic Psalm. This is the Psalm that Paul is quoting right here. Hallelujah. This is where God said, this day I have begotten you. It's a Psalm of the resurrection. That Psalm was applied both to the resurrection as well as to the birth of Christ when he was first born, when he first came into the world. But it's primarily a scripture about his resurrection. Let's read here. The second Psalm, Psalm 2. Are you still there with me? We're about to close. The second Psalm. Oh, I love it. I love it so much. The second Psalm from verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Hey, hallelujah. Look at verse 6. Yet have I set my King Jesus upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. That was the resurrection. When Jesus rose from the dead, like we read in Acts chapter 13 and verse 33 in the Amplified. When he rose from the dead, God said, you are my son. Today you are born again. I've caused you to arise and you are demonstrating you are the Messiah by virtue of the resurrection. The resurrection was a game changer. Everything began from the resurrection. Can somebody say hallelujah? Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. He did not let his soul remain in hell, and he did not allow his Holy One to see corruption. Hallelujah. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection. And then, of course, he closes, as for me, after verse 7, this day have I begotten you, then he closes, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance, the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. And you will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. That is, submit to the Son. Submit to the Son. Pay homage to the Son. Lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. What a glorious, powerful psalm. What a glorious, powerful psalm. Hallelujah. There's another psalm I'm going to read here, Psalm 110. This one is actually quoted in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's read just a minute. Let's read Hebrews chapter 1 first. I think a couple of verses there that allude to this particular psalm. I think towards the end of Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Let's read from verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? That's what we just read. You know, that's what we just read in the second Psalm, verse 7, Psalm 2, verse 7. Which of the angels did he ever say to, you are my son, today have I be, this is the day that I've begotten you. This is at his resurrection. And again, he says, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings in the firstborn into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. This was at his birth. Verse 7, and of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirit and his ministers a flame of fire? Verse 8, but unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and you have hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. That's Psalm 45. Read this in verse 10 now. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. You are the same, and your years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? Establishing the superiority of the Messiah. The resurrection changed everything. Establishing the superiority of the authority of the Messiah. Let's go and read Psalm 110. It's one of the Psalms that was being alluded to right there in that particular scripture in Hebrews. Let's close out. Where are we? 46 minutes. Let's close that out here in Psalm 110. Glory be to God. Somebody say with me, thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Say it one more time. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Say it one last time. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. All power and all authority has been given unto him, and he's turned around and given unto you and to me all of that authority and all of that power. And now, through us, God is going to subdue his enemies in the earth until he returns. Hallelujah. Through us, through the church. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, where we were reading, but Paul's prayer, where he was praying, I pray for you, I pray for you. Oh, that the Father of glory, the Father of our Lord Jesus, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what are the riches of his, the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, the glory in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Toward us who believe, according to the working of his power, which he wrought when he raised Jesus from the dead. He raised him up from the dead and set him right above, far above all principalities and powers, above all rule, above all dominion, above every name that is named. Hallelujah. And gave him to be the head over all things for the good and the benefit of the church. Hallelujah. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Glory to God. It is through us, the church, it is through you, the believer, that God is going to exercise the rulership and the dominion that God gave to Jesus, hallelujah, to subdue all his enemies. You and I are the ones sent forth to do that assignment. That's our job on this earth. It's one of our primary jobs. Of course, one of the most important jobs we have been given is to bring glory to the Father. But this is one of the ways we bring glory to the Father. It's one of the ways we bring glory to the Father. To subdue principalities and powers. Remember what the Bible says before we read in Psalm 110. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. You remember what the Bible says there. Right? Talking about the manifold wisdom of God. That the many-sided wisdom of God. That is which God wants to put on display through the believer. So that principalities and powers can attest to the authority of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see that in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read that real quick before we close out in Psalm 110. Glory be to God. glory be to God. Woo, Jesus is Lord. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. He says, to the internal, let's read from verse 9, and to make all men see What is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ? Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, or you can say might be known through the church. Might be known through the church. The manifold wisdom of God. Let's read this from the Amplified. It's so powerful. Let's read this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 from the Amplified. It says, the purpose is that through the church, through you and through me, where you and I, we're the church. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known into the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. That through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers, the authorities, principalities, and powers in the heavenly sphere. Let's put it in very simple grammar language. The goal, the purpose that God has, one of the ways that God has ordained that he will get glory in the earth, is that through the church, through the believers, you and I, through the demonstration of the authority of God, through the outworking of the authority that has been given unto us, principalities and powers will attest to the wisdom of God. They will look and say, God is truly the only wise God. They will look at it and say, this is too much to comprehend. This God is too much. This God is too much. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. But they're not going to look at us and say God is too much and talk about the infinite wisdom of God and talk about the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God. If you and I are running around, we're running around just letting the devil kick us around like a football and taking authority over us. And we're the princes, but we're walking on the ground. The demonic spirits who should be our servants, they are riding on our horses. They are not going to look and say, whoa, what wisdom. Whoa, glory. Oh, wow. What? They won't do that. They say, yeah, look at them, foolish, we got them. Let's close out. Our time is gone right here. Oh my goodness, how did I get to 50 minutes tonight? Psalm 110, this is where we close tonight. Hallelujah. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, out of the church, that's Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Oh, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and he will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. How? Through the church. He shall judge among the heathen. How? Through the church. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. The dead bodies of the adversaries. How? Through the church. He shall wound the heads over many countries. How? Through the church. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. I like the way the Amplified puts that last verse. the last two verses. He says he will execute judgment in overwhelming punishment upon the nations. He will fill the valleys with the dead bodies. He will crush the chief heads over lands many and far extended. He will drink of the brook by the way. Therefore will he lift up his head triumphantly. Therefore shall he lift up his head triumphantly. How? Through the church. Through you and through me. Oh, glory to God. How did all this get started? The resurrection changed everything. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you glory and we give you praise. We honor you. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for visiting with us. Thank you for ministering to us tonight. As we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you, God, because we're knowing you and we're knowing the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering being made conformable unto your death. We give you all the glory tonight. I bless everyone under the sound of my voice. I bless them and their loved ones. Thank you, Father. We exercise authority and dominion in every sphere of our spiritual jurisdiction. I thank you. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. Hallelujah. No longer will that torment stand in that life. No longer will that torment stand in that family. It is quashed forever. It is quashed forever. Jesus reigns forever. Jesus reigns forever. And we walk in his authority and in his dominion. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Thank you so much, saints. We're out of time again tonight. Woo! What a glorious service. Thank you for being with us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I was so excited. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.